Now we're turning to verses 1 and 2 is our text this morning. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savour. There was a very famous missionary doctor who was once asked the question, what is the best way to raise children? And he replied, there are three ways. He says, number one, by example. Number two, by example. And number three, by example. And I think he's right. That by our actions and by our words and by our attitudes within the home, that our children learn to follow in our footsteps. The Apostle Paul certainly believed that to be true, and he knew something of the importance of teaching others. He told the church in Corinth, in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, he says that he was their spiritual father in the gospel, and he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now a little later in the same letter, in chapter 11, he tells them, be followers of me, even as I follow Christ. To the church in Thessalonica, he says in 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. And Paul uses the illustration of a tender nursing mother and an affectionate father, that he not only imparted the gospel to them, but he actually shared his life with them. And so he tells them, be followers of me, even as I follow God. Now, it wasn't just the Lord Jesus who, the Apostle Paul who said these things. The Lord Jesus said something similar. Told us to imitate God, our Father. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Luke chapter 6 and verse 36. He went even further when he commanded us in Matthew's Gospel chapter 5. Be ye therefore perfect even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And that's what Paul's dealing with here. As we move from chapter 4 into chapter 5. The last part of chapter 4, he's been telling us quite specifically how we are to put away the old life before our conversion and to put on the new man that is in Christ. And now he's summing this whole lesson up with the opening words of chapter 5. I remind you, there are no chapter divisions in the original text. So we are to be followers of God as dear children. Our entire Christian life may be summed up as a life of imitating God as his children as we walk with him in love. Now Paul will point out elsewhere, particularly in the book of Romans, that we are to love one another, and in so doing we have fulfilled the law of God. As God's beloved children, we are to imitate him in loving each other. Walk in love, verse 2 says, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice. So right here at the very beginning of chapter 5, we find that we are being called to be like God. We are called to love as he loves. What an impossible task. How can we, sinful, human, frail and failing people, ever be like him or love as he has loved? So we're going to spend our time in these opening verses this morning. And I've taken as the title of our message, Be Followers of God. And I want to notice some of the challenges that are presented to us here, and also some of the hope that is given to us. So my first word to you this morning is imitation. imitation. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Now, I shouldn't have to point this out to you, but when you see the therefore in verse 1, we ask why it's therefore. Because it's pointing backwards to everything he's been teaching in chapter 4. And we're being reminded that as the saints of God, we have been saved by his grace, and because he has saved us, we are expected to be different in the way that we live, the way that we conduct ourselves, the way that we speak, the way that we do things in life. We are to be different in every area and aspect of our life. The old man is to be put away, and the new man is to be put on. To the Corinthians, Paul will tell them that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things pass away, and all things become new. Since we have come to faith in Jesus Christ, our lives are being continually transformed. We no longer do the old things of sin that we were accustomed to. Our life is changing. The Apostle John put it this way, 1 John 2 and verse 6. And if you have your Bible, why don't you turn up these references and see what God's Word says. Don't just take my word for it. Here's what the Apostle John said. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you say that you're a Christian and you abide in Christ, then your life should be like his. You should walk even as he walked. And we've found over the last few weeks we've been challenged to all kinds of things about our language and speech, our anger, our work ethic, our bitterness, our seeking of revenge and hatred. We've been challenged to be forgiving and kind-hearted and compassionate towards one another. And here in verse 1 we find the greatest challenge of all: be ye followers of God. And the word follower there simply means a mimic, an imitator of God. God's people are to be imitators of him. We are to follow him in all of his ways. Do you remember as children used to play the game, follow the leader? Wherever the leader went, you went. And whatever he stood on, you stood on. If he went in one leg, you went in one leg. That's what we're doing here. We're following God in all of his ways. We're learning to be like him. We're copying him. We're learning by imitation. We're natural imitators. We learn to walk and to talk by imitating those that are around us. Why do you think I have this wonderful accent that I have? Because I learned it from my parents. I imitated as they spoke. We see it in the way that we talk. We see it in the ideas that we hold. We sometimes see it in the way that we dress. I'm sure there's not more than one lady here that's went into the hairdressers at some point and showed a picture and said, I wanted to look like this. We imitate those that we admire. We adopt their vocabulary. We try to look as they look. We try to behave as they behave. Sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's unconscious. But Paul's telling us here that there ought to be a deliberate action on the behalf of the Christian to be more like God, to imitate him. And as I look at this command, I see real problems for us here. How can we truly imitate God in all his ways? We can never manage that. God is perfect, and we are imperfect. God is omnipotent and all-powerful, but we are weak. He is omniscient and all-knowing, but our understanding is limited. He is omnipresent and found everywhere, whereas we are located in one place at a time. He is holy and we are sinful. He is good and we are evil. He is spirit and we are flesh. He is eternal and we are temporal. He is heavenly and we are earthly. How can we ever be like God or follow him in all of his ways? We are supposed to learn about God from his word, and we are expected to put into practice everything that we know about him. To be a follower of God. To love as he loves. To hate as he hates. To do as he does. We want to be like him in every aspect of our lives. And it's a task that's far too great for us to accomplish. Left to ourselves, we could never be imitators of God in the way that we are expected to be. So our first word from our text this morning is imitation. I've got a second word that I think will be helpful to us. Limitation. Limitation. There's a limit to these things. Now notice what we're told to do. We're to be followers of God as dear children. I think that's important. It's natural for children to imitate their parents. Very often they adopt their nature and their posture and their language and their behavior and their actions. And I remember one time being in a hardware store with my father. He had ordered something and he was waiting at the desk for it to be brought out to him. And I noticed that we were both standing the same way with our elbow on the counter. And I thought, oh no, more like my father than I thought. But we learn from our parents. We share their nature in many ways. If you watch little children, the things that they do, very often they're copying what they've seen the adults around them doing. And so you'll see little boys and they'll start out with plastic tools, plastic screwdriver, plastic drill, and they'll try doing the same things that they see dad doing. And so with their plastic hammer they begin to hit things and to drive in nails and to turn screws with their plastic screwdriver until they realize that, well, maybe I could upgrade these tools for a better set. And they find old tools that dad's no longer using and they start to use those. His dad's fixing something. They're standing beside him fixing something else. It's not just little boys, of course. Little girls used to do the same thing. Chair would be pulled up to the bench as mum was baking, and they would have their own baking set as well, and they would follow the instructions just as mum was doing. Plastic tea sets. Toy dolls. I have a sister who's a teacher now. As a little girl, she used to set up her dolls and her teddy bears in rows and set them up in a pretend classroom as he was at the front teaching. Just following by example what she'd seen others doing. Now here's my point. We don't expect little children to be able to do everything that they see their parents doing, but we do expect them to mimic and to imitate and in some way to attempt to copy what they see their parents doing more perfectly. And I think that's the limitation we have in verse 1. That while we are expected to be followers of God and to do as he does and to be as he is, we can't quite do that because we are like little children following an adult example. Our Heavenly Father's ways are so far beyond us that we can't possibly reach them, but we strive to be like him. And we want to grow to be more like him. And we work within our limitations and in our childish ways. And we hope to mature and grow and develop so that we move from our plastic toys to the real thing. And so that's certainly true in earthly families, and I think it's true in our heavenly family also. Like little children who are to be near their parent, watching, observing, learning, growing, we are to be brought closer to our Heavenly Father so that we might learn his ways and become more like him. There's a sense that we are always children and we'll never reach the perfections of our Heavenly Father, but we want to be more like him. We want to be followers of him. So there is imitation with a limitation. We're never going to quite get there, but we're striving to be more like him. I have another word for you. Expectation. What is the expectation that God has for us as followers of him? Well, the expectation is found in verse 2, that we walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice. Here's the expectation. When God saved you, he did so with a purpose in mind. And his purpose in redemption was to make you more like his Son. Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 tells us, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed unto the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. When God saved you, he did so with a purpose, a determined plan. That's what predestined means. His predetermined plan in saving you was to conform you unto the image of his Son, to make you more like the Savior. To be conformed to his image is to become more like him. And since God is holy, we should be increasing in holiness. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's God's plan for each and every one of his redeemed children. That's the expectation. Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 1 and verse 14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's the expectation. Not fashioning ourselves according to the former lust, not according as you were before Christ saved you, but now that he's redeemed you, be holy. That's the expectation. Beloved, John said, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are unable to imitate God through our own power. We cannot be holy in our own strength, but we can be empowered by the Spirit of God who dwells within us. And we can say then with Paul to the Philippians, that these things that God expects of me, that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He empowers me and enables me to live for his glory. We have been redeemed by his grace. We have been adopted into his family. We have become partakers of his nature, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's 2 Peter 1 verse 4. We have become the temples of God. We are indwelt by his Spirit, and through that indwelling power, we are enabled now in limited ways to imitate and follow our Father. And we are to be holy as he is holy. We are to walk in love, verse 2 says, as Christ also hath loved us. We have seen previously that we are to learn to forgive even as we have been forgiven. We are to be truthful in our speech, because the one who saved us is the way, the truth, and the life. We are to be patient towards others, because our God is full of loving kindness and tender mercy. We are to be kind hearted to one another, because of all that the Lord has done for us. We share compassion because we have received compassion. And everything that God has been to us, we are to share with others around us. And how do we learn these things? We learn these things by reading God's Word, that revelation of himself. And we learn these things by observing God, by watching from the Gospels the life of our Savior as he works with others. We learn these things simply by walking with him. Micah, the Old Testament prophet, said in chapter 6 and verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord requires of thee, to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Walk with Him, learn from Him, be like Him, become an imitator of God. That's the expectation. And here, particularly in verse 2, we are to imitate His love. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. We might say that everything that God has done, is doing, and will do, He does out of love. The overriding characteristic of His person is love. God is love. And we have experienced that love. And since that love has been placed within us, we are now to walk in love also. Another word, walk, to walk in love, simply means to regulate your life. Let your life be controlled and driven and defined by love. Let the love of God that has saved you and keeps you be shared then with others. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How has Christ loved us? With an unconditional, undeserved, unending, and self-sacrificing love. That's the type of love that Christ had for us. A love that caused Him to leave the glories of heaven, to come down to a world that was cursed with sin, to take upon Himself the form of a man and to live amongst us. To be despised and rejected by those that He came to see Him. To be cruelly mistreated by His fellow countrymen. Spat upon, beaten, bruised and broken, and eventually crucified and put to death. That's how He loved. And He did it because He desired to save us from our sins and to offer His life as a sacrifice whereby we might be redeemed. That's the love that Christ has loved us with. It's more than just fondness. More than just nice thoughts towards someone. It's an undeserving love. It's a love that can't be bought or turned away. It's powerful and it's eternal and it's redemptive and it's filled with grace. And there's nothing like it in all the universe. And we are told to imitate it. Love as Christ hath loved us. We're told something of the law of love in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 22. The Lord Jesus speaking said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And then go and love your neighbor like yourself. Love God supremely with heart and soul and mind and strength. Love Him with your heart. We refer to the heart as the core of our being. The soul is the seat of the emotions. The strength is of the endeavors. The mind with our intelligence and our determination. We are to love with our whole being the person of God. It should be an all-consuming love. It should be emotional. It should be a love that's based upon who God is and what He has done for us. And we are determined to love Him no matter what. Every act, every thought, every attitude, everything that we do is to be in response to our love for Him. We are to love as God loved us. And then we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we all love ourselves, don't we? We do everything that we can to meet our needs as we know them. When we are hungry, we eat. When we're thirsty, we drink. When we're sick, we take ourselves to the doctor. When we want something, we try to find a way to get it. We take good care of ourselves. Now we're commanded to actively seek the good of others. And that's the embodiment of the love of God in action through us towards others. We are to seek their best at all times. And so the Lord tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. He it is that loveth me, he shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Because when I love like him, I will be like him. And when I am like him, I will love as he loves. And so we have imitation, be followers of God, without understanding that there's a limitation, that we are like little children copying our parents. The expectation is that we become more like the Savior in the things that we do. And here's our motivation. Our motivation. Christ has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice. This is why we do it. Our Lord's love to us was not just a deep affection or some emotional attachment. He didn't give himself for us because we deserve something from him. He did it because of grace, because of undeserved favor. He came to this world to offer himself as a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. It was wicked hands that nailed our Savior to the cross, but it was his love that kept him there. He went willingly to suffer on our behalf to demonstrate his love toward us, to give himself as a sacrifice to God, so that we can say this morning that when he died for us. He died to take away our guilt. But primarily he died for the glory of the Father. And we benefit from the Son's love to his Father. We benefit from that. It's described as a sweet smelling savor. The Father was so pleased with the sacrifice that the Son made on behalf of lost and guilty souls, that we have been redeemed by his grace, brought into his family. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He had given himself for us, and he did it out of love. Now we who have received that love, we are to go and share it with others, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us. We are to imitate God in this regard. We cannot sit idly by while we have friends and neighbors and loved ones that are outside of Christ. We cannot truly say that we love our neighbor as ourselves if we're not seeking to bring them to the heaven that God has prepared for those who love him. Cannot possibly love them if we leave them on with no hope for eternity. We are to love as he loves. And may the Lord help us then, as we look upon those around us, to do so with the love that Christ had for us. That he'd be willing to sacrifice himself in order that they might be saved. You know, I often think of the words of the Apostle Paul, when he's speaking about his fellow countrymen, the Jews, and their unbelief towards the Lord Jesus. And he says, you know, I could wish myself accursed from God that they might be saved. You know, that's what the Lord Jesus did. He took upon himself the curse of God so that we who were yet in unbelief might be saved. Would you be willing to do that? I look at that statement of Paul and I wonder how he could possibly say such a thing, that he could wish himself to be accursed from God, cast away from God for the salvation of those he was praying for. And then I read this verse in Ephesians chapter 5, and I realize that Paul is a little bit further down the line of imitating God than what I am. Because that's exactly what God did. In the person of the Son, wished himself accursed so that we might be saved. See, true love is measured not by what it gains, but by what it gives. And Christ gave himself. And we are challenged here to be so surrendered to the Father that we become like the Savior. Can you imagine how much of a blessing we would be to those around us if we loved as Christ loved? What an impact we would have in our ministry and in our witness and in the sharing of the gospel. Can you imagine the changes that would take place, not just in our own lives, but in our home, in our church, in our towns and in our cities and throughout the nation and the world if we loved as Christ loved? These are the things that are set before us. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice. May the Lord help us to fulfill these demands and to love as he loved. The Lord helping us. Amen.